with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition and go Tigers.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Robertson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Robertson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Robertson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Robertson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robertsonroofing.net.
Hartwell Village is your one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With 15-plus retail and dining locations, including Buff City Soap, Rack Room Shoes, Marshalls, Petco, Five Below, Uptown Cheapskate, and Ulta. Dine with friends at Tipsy Taco, Iso Iso Ramen and Boba, Five Guys, Longhorn, or Chipotle. And after a day full of fun, refuel before you hit the road at 7-Eleven. Hartwell Village wishes Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic football season. Go Tigers!
Discover a new kind of senior living at Everlon Independent Senior Living in Clemson. Say goodbye to cooking, cleaning, and home maintenance. And say hello to comfort and community with chef-prepared meals, transportation services, a fitness room, a calendar full of engaging activities, and walking proximity to Patrick Square. Luxury independent senior living that's all-inclusive with no long-term commitments. Now is your time to live your best life. Schedule your free tour online today at everlineliving.com.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
The Upstate's home for sports talk.
It entertains me. I enjoy listening on the way home.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are the Roar.
All right, hour number three, Out of Bounds. William Plogenbush, Ben Milstead with you.
Thanks for joining us here on the program. You know, Texter, before we go to Ren, Texter says, going on the road might be exactly what this team needs to stay a little more focused and get going. But if K comes out flat and doesn't play well, it's time to see the backup quarterback. Now, I disagree with the second part. You actually brought up the first part to me, and I think that is an interesting theory about this team, that it could be that a road game is exactly, like, that's just what they need to really dial it in and get going a little bit.
They do stay together the night before. They do, you know, they actually try to make home games feel like road games for consistency's sake. But there's still more distractions at home. And you know, look, that's not why you win or lose. But to the Texter's point, it can't hurt. I've seen it, you know, with the basketball team sometimes. They are a little more focused and businesslike when you get in a little bit of a funk. Go on the road, you know, it's just you and your guys. You get a little bit of a bunker mentality. There could be something to that. And let's face it, there hasn't been a good home game in almost a year where you truly look good at home.
Where you felt good coming out of it.
Yeah. You got to go back to, like, Virginia last October.
Hate to say it, but you're not wrong. Let's go to Ren on the phone, 654-ROAR, if you'd like to join us, 654-7627. What's up, Ren?
Oh, what's going on, Paul?
Doing great, man. Hope you're doing well.
Good. Hey, I think you've had a caller earlier. I think it's Maria about Clemson playing to their standards.
Yes, that's right.
So this is where my question kind of falls into it. I think Jerry Riley is a good coach because, like, as you can see, TCU is like one. I think it's top five offenses in the country when he was at TCU.
That's right.
So with that, so do you think it's Garrett Riley's team not fitting to Clemson's offense because of the talent we have? Because the talent's good, or do you think it's the talent not fitting his team because of the based off the way they perform?
I think the talent at Clemson is way better than the talent he had at LSU or at TCU. Now he had older players, like Max Duggan was a redshirt senior, and Quentin Johnston was a first round pick, and who was it? Turpin maybe was a running back. I can't remember exactly what, but like those were older skill players. And you got Duggan, who was a little more of like a traditional like running quarterback type of a guy, but really like blossomed as a passer. I would also point out that Chandler Morris won that job and got hurt the first game, and Duggan stepped in. So Chandler Morris actually beat him out. But I wouldn't say that it's a talent gap, that the TCU offense is more talented. I would not say that.
Yeah. And I think with Cade, I think he plays a lot better when he stays in the pocket instead of kind of scrambling and getting out to somebody.
You know, somebody asked Dabo about that, and Ren, I appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Somebody asked Dabo if that was one of the things that that he liked in the second half, and he was kind of like, yeah, we kept him in the pocket. He stayed in there, and he hung in there, and he made some good throws, and then he sort of talked about two or three of them. I know people are trying to people are almost trying to write the epitaph for Garrett Riley's offense. And while I agree, like, I still have questions. I think you'd be crazy not to have some questions. I don't think the talent, like, to your point, Ben, you still have to grapple with, look what we saw at TCU. Look what we saw their offense do. It was a nightmare for people. And with rare exception, I don't think Clemson's offense with higher caliber recruited talent all around has ever struck fear in the heart of people the way that TCU's offense did, particularly after the first month of that 2022 season.
Yeah, and if, you know, for those that missed the beginning of the show, Quack and I were both in agreement, I think, that I think you reserve judgment on Riley for the most part until you see this team, in terms of the complexity of what he's calling, until you see this team be able to handle the simple. And if you are Garrett Riley, you're not gonna call more complex plays if for a squad that's struggling with what appear to be simpler concepts right now. That's not to say that he can't do a better job, and that, you know, play calling. I mean, I do think there's examples where play calling, he could have helped his offensive line or he could have helped his quarterback get in a rhythm. I'm not saying that at all. But just in terms of what you have seen him play, run, and call, why would you make it more difficult when you're struggling with what you're already calling?
That's a good point. I mean, I would also, you know, several people on the Adams Corbin text line are going, well, he had Sonny Dykes there with him. The example I always go to on that, well, I would relate to anybody's life. If you spend 1 year with a guy who is like one of the leaders in the industry and then you leave and go somewhere else, you don't just forget everything that guy said. I mean, I would say that if and Garrett Riley was the play caller on that offense. Now, we know that Sonny Dykes was, I mean, Sonny Dykes had lots of ideas about offensive football. There's no question about it. But Garrett Riley was the one calling the plays. He was the one calling the plays in. With input, sure, absolutely. But you're thinking he brought some Sonny Dykes with him. I mean, nobody leaves a job and leaves everything that they heard at that job at the old job. I would think that would be a benefit. The example that I use all the time is Shaka Smart. Shaka Smart left Clemson where, you know, they did things a very particular way, particularly defensively. And the reason, in my opinion, that Shaka Smart became a really successful head coach at VCU and has remained a very successful coach at Marquette is the 1 year he spent at Florida with Billy Donovan. because they weren't pressing 94 feet. They were more strategic. When he got to VCU, they were a little more strategic. Yeah, they press, and they wanted to be a nightmare and wreak havoc and do all that, but they didn't do it every single time. And so it moderated him a little bit. He didn't leave Clemson and forget all the Clemson stuff he learned from Oliver Purnell, and he didn't leave Florida and forget all the Florida stuff he learned from Billy Donovan. He became a better coach. So I don't think Garrett Riley left Sonny Dykes and just forgot how to do the TCU stuff. But I would agree. We need to see more. We need to see more. I don't think there's any question about it. Let's go to Cree, who's up with us next. What's up, Cree?
How are y'all?
Good. How are you, man?
Well, we won the game, that's about all I can say. But my question is, and the execution on each play is probably going to affect this question, but do you think we should go back to tempo and no huddle? Because when they come out in the third quarter, we were at the game, they ran no tempo and drove straight down the field and put the defense on the heels. I feel like the no tempo, no huddle can sometimes cover up their mistakes because the defense doesn't have time to get set.
You know,
and also, I wanted to shout out, at the soccer game, I was the one that yelled out the window at you on the way out.
Oh, hey, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, that was I could not tell where that was coming from at first, but I appreciate you saying hello. Cree, I appreciate the phone call. It's a good question.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for the phone call. We get that all the time, Ben, that they need to run tempo. I think Cade is comfortable in tempo. I think in conjunction with that, defense gets more uncomfortable with tempo. The thing about tempo, though, we found this out in the Chad Morris era, that it also, if you're not executing, you can just punt quicker. And punting quicker is not the elixir. So there's got to be a balance. I also think that offensive football now is slower. The paces are slower. The number of plays you run in a game are slower or are fewer. It's just a little bit of a different era to some degree.
Yeah, well, people do need to remember when you're talking about tempo and Chad Morris, college football actually changed the rules while Chad Morris was at Clemson because of tempo. Because of Chad Morris. I mean, I think Chad Morris was one of the main reasons they started holding the ball for play, where, you know, to allow for subs and things. So, but you've heard Sweeney say a lot of times that if you start listening to the fans in the stands, you're going to be sitting with them the following year. I would disagree in this, though, that when there are 80,000 fans in the stands like there were for LSU, 40,000 like there were for in the second half last week.
More than I thought there would be after the long delay, honestly.
That if that many people can see that the quarterback is more comfortable with some tempo, it's worth at least exploring.
I agree.
Right.
I mean, a texter says, get a first down, then run tempo. I think your first down plays, you can go, go, go. By the way, on the flip side of that, Bielema is back at it. Did you see some of the substitutions in the Duke game?
I did not.
Duke, God bless them. I know you can't do it all game. You can't just sub like the other team. But, man, those idiots were subbing in the middle of series. And, I mean, they're subbing like one of the big dudes out, and he is just walking. I mean, he is just like boom, boom, boom. I mean, you just the slowest thing. And then they're running the biggest guy, the heaviest guy on. Boom. Boom, boom. And there's like seven on the play clock. I actually listened to a little bit of the Illinois-Duke game. I think when I was walking around on campus, I was listening to a little bit of the Illinois-Duke game. And the Duke play-by-play announcers were literally just like, oh, and here they go again. They're just going to walk these guys on. 9, 8. So they're not even on their side. 6, 5. Move the umpire. They're just mad as rip. These play-by-play guys cannot believe it. These Duke guys are absolutely incensed. But Brett Bielema has figured out, if you sub, I can literally just walk dudes on, and they have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not stopping the play clock for me. So let that be a lesson. Everybody playing Illinois, they are still doing that at Illinois. Do you want to do position groups? You want to grade some position groups?
Let's do. We talked about that.
Let's start with quarterback. Got to start with the quarterback. What's your grade for Cade? Hashtag grade for Cade.
I'm going to do these based on relative to what I think they're capable of. I think Cade's been like a C-. I almost said D. I might say D.
I said D plus.
Yeah, so we're in that same area.
He's missed too many guys to not have made more plays, was kind of the way I looked at it. If you're going to miss the guys you missed against LSU, got to make some more plays. Got to be more, like I said earlier, you got to be more decisive, man. Mm-hmm. I just want to see that guy give off the aura like, I'm the best player here. I'm going to be the best player here. I need to see that. Running backs.
Incomplete.
It was a total NA in the first game.
Yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, I really do mean that sort of incomplete. More of a, because I'm not going to get excited about what I saw Saturday other than the fact that Adam Randall actually looks like a running back now. But, you know, even though Clemson struggled with Troy, that is still Troy. So I'm not going to get excited about that. Incomplete. I don't think we know enough. I think we will know. We will be able to grade that accurately after this weekend.
I'm saying B minus. And this is why. Because in the small sample that we've gotten, I think Adam Randall has run the ball well. And I think the other guys are fine. I mean, I don't think they've been great by any stretch. I kind of expected Davidson and Izumume to have more than five carries combined in the first two games. The other thing, Adam Randall is third on the team in catches and fourth on the team in yards. So he's been, when they found him underneath, he's getting yards in the passing game too. And I did not think we would say that after two games. So I'm going B minus. A little more forgiving. But as you said, small sample. Wide receivers.
Man. See, that this is a tough one.
Can I start this
for
one?
For me, because, yes.
You can finish it. Go ahead and finish
it. Well,
your
I was
going
to say, because that goes in conjunction. It's hard to grade a wide receiver room high if you grade your quarterback low. So, I mean, I think they've been more like a C.
I'm going C minus.
Yeah.
The positive is they have missed Antonio Williams, but they have not missed slot receiver production. Tyler Brown has been in both games, Tyler Brown has been a bright spot on the offense. I think with how he's catching the ball and his yards after catch.
Yeah, it's hard to know how much you've dropped off. Because Tyler Brown has been good, and Cade still has a comfortable there's still some comfortability there with him, as evidenced by how many times he targets him.
Brian Wesco also, an absurdly good second half. I'd like to see that continue. I'm a little perturbed that we haven't seen an explosive half of football until the second half of the Troy game from a receiver, where a guy just really gets going.
On the offensive side, one more before the break. What about the tight end room?
B. I give them a B. I think they've been really good in coverage. They've blocked okay, I would say, in and out in the run game, but I haven't seen major hiccups.
I'm probably a little lower just, you know, at this point, but I do think you have three guys who've proven they can contribute. Like I said, you've had two different starters. Bentancur certainly has flashed. You know, I'm watching Davis Allen yesterday, and I'm thinking, Clemson's got to find that dog. You got to find that guy. Bentancur's probably the closest to that. But let me tell you what, there's a couple of times in run situations, he was atrocious. I mean, he's just flat out bad on the line a couple of times. No doubt he physically can catch. I mean, he's physically gifted in catching the ball. Then again, I mean, all three of them have flashed. That's something that they've got to – I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. You've got to find a tight end that is there and Cade's comfortable with.
Yeah, just six combined catches from the three guys. Did you downgrade wide receivers and tight ends because they did have two drops on the same play last week?
Yes.
I mean, Ben turns around and looks at me and goes, did we just have two drops on the same play?
We had two drops on the same play, and then we had two interceptions on the same play later in the game.
That's right. Giveth and taketh away. Hey, real quick before we go to break, let me tell you about Phoenix Center. It's hard to talk about Alcohol, drugs, and vaping. It is. It's easier when you have the right tools. And so thanks to Phoenix Center, we do. They have pamphlets and materials and all kinds of little like nifty tips, tools of the trade, to make sure that we're weaving these themes into the normal conversation, the rhythms of our day. And it's not just an awkward conversation every now and then that our kids are able to stiff arm. It's important for our young people to know that most kids do make good decisions when it comes to alcohol, drugs, and vaping. And we want all of our kids to do that. We want to feel comfortable doing that. Phoenix Center can help. Go to phoenixcenter.org. Check under resources. Back to the grading when we return for more Hour 3 in just a moment.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier. QC Kinetics is now offering virtual consultations with new patients. If you're living with chronic joint pain, you can meet with a QC medical professional from the comfort of your own home. This new telemedicine platform is exciting. It's time-saving as well. They can do it by phone. They can do it by video conference. You're going to get one-on-one attention to evaluate your situation, to see if you're a candidate for regenerative medicine, to see if they can get you treatment scheduled right there on the spot for long-lasting pain relief. QC Kinetics, the leader in cellular technology, regenerative medicine, they're helping so many folks right now. If you tried the drugs, tried the steroids, tried the surgery, don't do that. Do it with QC Kinetics right now. Schedule that consultation. Do it online, 864-766-8454, 864-766-8454. Virtual consultation, fast, quick, and easy and convenient. Call now, 864-766-8454.
Hey, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
You can feel it in the air. Football is back, and the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1. To play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football? Man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be new? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Did you know that Ingles sells a huge variety of organic items? Or that they run their own dairy? Or that they only serve USDA Choice and Prime meat? Did you know that they have more local craft beer than any place else? Or that they have energy smart stores? Or that they professionally slice and package imported cheese from Europe? Did you know about their giant international aisle, local farm partnerships, curbside pickup, wine department, or that they donate 3,956 meals a day to local food banks? Well, now you do. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do have a favorite child.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's the Actually Really Seriously best sale of the year for real at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 on Sealy and get a free adjustable base, plus fast free delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or mattressfirm.com for details. When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account. Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
That leaf pile is 100 feet tall. Your dad can't handle this.
Not without the right equipment.
Yard work piling up? Gear up for fall with John Deere. Get $750 off select mowers, $2,000 off select Gator UVs, and $3,000 off select compact tractors.
Did I hear your dad got a John Deere?
Yep, bad day to be a leaf pile.
Gear up for fall at an authorized John Deere dealer, now through September 30th. Learn more at johndeere.com/gearupforfall.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, the only place in the upstate where you can get 13 hours of live and local sports talk daily. Oh, believe me, we've checked. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
All right, we're doing grades for the first 2 weeks. Position grades. Why the heck not? Fun stuff. So we're going to have to give out some good grades eventually. I promise we are.
Where are you on offensive line there, Quok?
D+. D+.
I'm going to be slightly higher than that, but we're in the same. I think we're thinking similarly. More of a C maybe for me. I wasn't freaked out by it after the LSU game like a lot of people were. Because, you know, like we said earlier, I think there was some of that was by design and it falls on Cade. But, you know, I'm not gonna blame the offensive line when five can't pick up six or seven.
That's right.
After what you saw this weekend, though, I have to rethink some of that, honestly, because the offensive line just simply was not good. There's no way you can look at that game Saturday and say the offensive line was good. Does that mean they were bad in every situation? No, they were not bad in every situation. But there were a lot of bad plays, and they had to move guys around. You know, Tristan Lee was not available. He was out with a high ankle sprain, is what I think. But still, just way too many busted plays against a team that really didn't have a lot of guys near the line of scrimmage.
A lot of too high, a lot of corners with space. Yeah, they were not challenging with six and seven man, like, run pressures. They were not selling out to stop the run. I agree with you on that. I can ascend mentally to the idea that not having Walker Parks against LSU and not having Tristan Lee against Troy will impact the offensive line. I can ascend to that mentally. But when we are being told that Clemson has seven starting caliber players and they're all multiple and they can play all over the line, then it's kind of like the receiver thing with Antonio Williams. I can mentally ascend to Clemson needs its best receiver, but when we feel like there are five starting caliber, remember, you count Tristan Smith and Cole Turner, there's five starting caliber receivers there. There should not be the level of drop-off that we've seen.
Right.
And I didn't think Tristan Lee was very good against LSU. He may have been hobbled by some injury early in the game. He may have gotten dinged later. I don't know. We do know he got hurt sometime in the LSU game. It's clear they missed Walker Parks against LSU. It's clear they missed Tristan Lee against Troy. And I do think it's a little concerning that they had to abandon their run game against a four-win Troy team, because they could not run the zone scheme that they wanted to run. That's not the same as having to blow it up and start from scratch against LSU.
Communication should not have been an issue Saturday. It just should not have been an issue on the offensive line, and it was. I mean, they were not all on the same page. And, you know, if you're in more of a man and mano-a-mano, you're going to get beat every now and then. That's not the plays that bother me. It's two hats on two hats and one guy comes through without being touched. That just cannot happen. It just, if it happens against a team like Troy, it's definitely going to happen against better opponents.
You know, since we're wrapping up offense right now, these are poor grades, okay? I gave D plus, B minus, C minus, B, D plus, okay? These are poor grades. But here's sort of where I am with Clemson's offense.
By the way, if those were real grades in school, wouldn't that put you on probation?
That would put you on probation. Yeah, I'd need to go to study hall a couple more times.
Isn't this offense sort of on probation right now with the fan base?
That's a great point. That's a great point. Don't we, and I'm talking most, okay, I'm not talking fringy, I'm talking most observers, don't we expect Cade to be better? I mean, look, you go listen to the last hour when I got after Cade. I'm not getting after Cade because he sucks. I'm getting after Cade because I think he needs to be more confident in himself. Not the phony confidence that sometimes coaches have to tell people that they can do things that they don't think they can do because they need them to do it in the game. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there is nothing on the football field that I don't think Cade Klubnik can do. So I assume that at some point, Cade Klubnik will start doing those things and looking like the best player on the field. I assume that these wide receivers, Antonio Williams likely will get back at some point, and I assume that these wide receivers will look like the wide receiver unit that we thought. And I'm going to say the same thing about the offensive line. Because it would shock me if an offensive line had returned 140 starts or whatever together at the same school looked like this for 12 games. So some of the grading is like we expected some of these things to be buttoned up, and we expect that at some point they will get there. I don't know that there, maybe other than like running back, I don't think that there's any position group where if they look like this for 12 games, people will be like, well, I mean, we knew coming in this could be a problem. I think running back is really the only group that if they look kind of meh through the whole season, you kind of be like, well, that's kind of what you got. Nobody expects this group to look like this for 12 games, I don't think.
I do not.
Okay. Defense. D-line. God, I cannot say D-line without thinking of Dabo when he's talking about Tom Allen's press conference last week where he's like, that D-line, them linebackers. And we got some corners. Like, he just kept going on. D-line, what's your grade so far?
You know, They're a harder grade for me than maybe any of those offensive positions because you don't always know what they're asked to do. C-plus maybe, B-minus. Okay. Like I think Peter Woods has been really good. He's certainly been better. Will Helt has been pretty good. TJ Parker is actually where I've got a little bit of concern right now. Parker seems like he plays well when he's pissed off.
He got pissed off Saturday.
Yeah, he did. But I don't, you know, he plays more like a third down defensive end rather than an every down defensive end sometimes. Not all the time.
Two pressures, one sack in the first 2 weeks for Parker.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that, by the way. So, I need one of those guys to wreck a game. Not a play or two, one a quarter. I'm talking about just this guy is not having it today.
There's a couple of guys, too, that they played. A couple of guys towards the that are on down the depth chart that got a good bit of playing time in the second half that I just, for the life of me, why in the world they're in the game. One in particular.
A lot.
Why in the world? I'm not going to say his name out loud, but I bet we got people know who I'm talking
Everybody
about.
Everybody knows.
Just not good.
Oh, that's funny to me. I went B. I gave him a B. Both games when I watched again, I felt better about the defensive line than I did live. Because they're not doing the Christian Wilkins like that era defensive line. They're not doing the thing where they're just basically ripping souls from people's bodies and ruining your life, okay? Like, wish you were dead kind of stuff. They're not doing that. But they're also not getting blown off the ball. And I understand, like, LSU, like, Troy's not going to blow you off the ball probably, and LSU is their run game is not superb, but I feel like this defensive line has done fine. I think Jaheim Lawson has been really good. I think Will Helt has obviously been good. I think there are plays that Will Helt hasn't made that he's been disruptive, and they don't show up in a box score, but mm-hmm. I think he's been more disruptive than even his stat line. And Peter Woods is fourth on the team in tackles. He has no sacks. But, like, once a drive, he makes a brute force play that's impossible.
Yeah, see, and that's why I say you don't know what they're asked to do. I don't think Peter Woods is asked to get sacks. I don't know that's the expectation for him. The expectation for him is to eat up blockers.
That's right.
You eat up two guys every time.
Capehart's sack was like, God, can this guy play 1,000 snaps? I was like, oh my Lord, this guy's gonna get drafted. Like he's gonna add a zero to his paycheck in the NFL because of that play where he just absolutely destroys the entire interior of Troy and tracks down the quarterback. Absurd. Linebackers.
You know, they're probably the closest thing to an A that I think we've had.
I'm giving them an A. And you know why I'm giving them an A? Because the one thing I was mad about, Dabo said, not his fault. Very out front. Jamal Anderson should not be 30 yards from the quarterback in terms of width, one-on-one with a wide receiver that got motioned out of the backfield. There is no reason that should be happening.
Yeah, I was down on Anderson during the game. But again, that's one of those things when you watch it again, he's forced into a situation that's not his strength. And you credit Troy for that.
Woodaz and Sammy Brown, missed tackles maybe on one hand. Like, I think those guys have been really, really good. Like, consistently very good. Have not seen as much. You've seen a couple plays from the backups. Like, Jeremiah Alexander had a tackle. He's played 8 snaps, had a tackle on Saturday. I thought that he popped on that play, but you hadn't seen a lot from the backups.
Yeah, one texter said Woodaz has been below average. I will have to disagree with that.
I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Wade Woodaz has been below average? Are you watching anybody else on any field anywhere? I think Wade Woodaz, has there been anybody on the team better than Woodaz so far?
Maybe Sammy Brown.
maybe Sammy Brown. I mean, Woodaz has 19 tackles, tackles for loss.
You're talking about missing tackles. He has missed some tackles.
A couple.
But, yeah, his pros have outweighed his cons so far for me.
100%. Let's go. Do you want to do DBs together or do you want to go corners and safeties? How did you do it?
I'm just thinking DBs in general.
Okay. What you got?
It was an area of concern. I think the injury to Khalil Barnes has been bigger than maybe people realize. You need him on the field. With all that said, I think they're in that A-minus, B-plus range. Avion Terrell and Ashton Hampton and Jaden Lucas and my gosh, Ronan Hanifin.
He might be the best player.
Where would you be if he would not have flipped from wide receiver to DB? By the way, he drops the easiest catch in the world. And I turn the clock, I'm like, that's why he's not a wide receiver anymore.
Dabo's like, now y'all see why we moved him. I thought that was disrespectful.
Relative to expectations, I think they've been pretty solid. You know, there were busted plays against LSU, but for crying out loud, you still held LSU to 17 points. That is saying something.
Against that passing game, 28 completions for less than 300 with that quarterback is pretty doggone good. I went B with the DBs because the pass interferences were like critical in the LSU game. I got to downgrade them a little bit for that. And the fact that the corners, I feel like they've been a little slow to react. I think some of that is because of the scheme they're being at, in particularly Saturday. Mm-hmm. A lot of vanilla coverage. That's what you wanted to do. Not a lot of man-to-man. But I think the safeties have overperformed expectations. Especially if you told me that Barnes wasn't going to play the first two games. Mm-hmm. For sure, I would tell you they've overperformed. 100%.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about some of those plays against LSU. You just, again, you got to give your opponent credit sometimes. LSU knows that you don't have somebody that can defend a 6'7 guy. You know,
yeah.
You throw that ball 11 feet in the air and he catches it with ease.
I think Avion Terrell grades out 100% on that play. I'm not sure he did a single thing wrong on that play except you're not six inches taller.
We're gonna ding you for being too short.
Stay with us. Final segment. We get to talk special teams, and not ironically, when we return for more right after this.
At Tri-County Technical College, they're committed to you as they look to transform lives and build strong communities. Tri-County's academic and training programs help them stay ahead of the trends in the business and corporate worlds to ensure you'll be well-equipped to succeed on the career path you choose. From advanced manufacturing to computers and IT, healthcare to skilled trades and more, TCTC is committed to your success. To find out more, visit one of their four campuses or go online at tctc.edu.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Fax and Childers and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. Madonna Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina, like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News, and Mark Sturgis from ESPN Upstate. Straight Up Sports is about the stories, just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
What would you do if you had a little bit more money to do it?
I'd go to law school.
I'd open a bakery.
I'd travel to visit my grandparents I haven't seen in 10 years.
We all have things we want to do in life, and there are people who want to help you do them. So how do we best ask for that help? GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the number one fundraising platform. 200 million people have used GoFundMe to support people doing things like furthering their education, starting a small business, or bringing people together in support of a cause. No matter what your goals are, GoFundMe helps you take an important step toward them. GoFundMe is free to set up and manage, easy to use, and designed to help you reach your goals.
The community was so supportive in helping me finally open my bakery. Now every day I wake up and get to do what I love. And it all started with GoFundMe.
What would you do if you had the money to do it? Get started today with GoFundMe. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power. GoFundMe.com/power. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe with actors voicing experiences inspired by our users.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable and stress-free experience. Our team of capable, trainable, and professional movers is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service. Whether you're relocating across town or across the state, we work hard to ensure your move is seamless. Let's start your journey today. Visit TigerMovingGreenville.com and discover why we're the best choice for your next move. Voted best in the upstate for the past 7 years. Tiger Moving, the easy way to move.
It's football season, but don't forget the real MVPs in your life. Score big with a stunning gift from Turner's Jewelers. From custom diamond studs to an eye-catching necklace, we'll help you make the right play with our jewelry. And when it's time to say, I do, let our experts help design your own championship-worthy ring. Family-owned and trusted for generations, Turner's brings all-star service and southern charm. Visit us in Seneca's Applewood Shopping Center or at turnersjewelers.com. Turner's Jewelers, a winning experience from start to finish.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Hey, it's Walt here. Wings, Weck, and wall-to-wall sports. That's Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Buffalo, New York flavor right here in the upstate. Crispy wings, stone oven pizza, and the famous beef on Weck. Juicy roast beef on a salty caraway bun with au juice. Big screens, cold beer, Friday fish fry, family-friendly, and just off 385. Moretti's, your new hangout where everyone's a regular.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing. 269-1232.
Don't miss out on this week's specials at Buff City Soap. With products for everyone, corporate gifts, pet products, laundry soap, seasonal scents, and more. Follow Buff City Soap Clemson and Buff City Soap Greenville on Facebook and Instagram for the latest sales and updates.
Clemson country, college football fans, this is your show, and this is The Roar.
Sing my share of broken halos, folded wings that used to fly. They've all gone.
Final segment of the program. Thanks for joining us today. GrassNerds.com. These are the folks that are going to get your lawn looking right. These folks that are going to do exactly what your lawn needs. They know what your lawn needs because they are experts in your type of lawn. Listen, whatever kind of grass you have, whatever, they care about making sure that lawns in the upstate of South Carolina, not the southeast of the United States or South Carolina or even the county, but the upstate and specifically your yard gets the treatment that it deserves. They do a soil sample analysis with all their treatments that makes it next level. These are great local folks. They show up in suspenders and thick rim glasses just to lean into the bit, and they really do a phenomenal job with your yard. Highly recommend to folks at Grass Nerds. Go to grassnerds.com today. That's grassnerds.com. Finally, we grade special teams. Ben Milstead, what's your grade on special teams?
I think they've been A+, because I'm not sure they'd be any better. You missed a field goal in the LSU game, but I don't expect you to be 100%. Unless you're an NFL kicker, in which you never miss from any distance, ever. My gosh.
Yeah, no one ever misses anymore.
It's just automatic. Anyway, on the Clemson, again, relative to expectations, I think they've been an A+.
I'm going A because Hoosier did go all of last year, and he made every kick that made it past the line of scrimmage without getting blocked. And he's already missed one this year, so I'm going to ding him a little bit for that. Everything else, in your wildest imagination, could it possibly be going any better on special teams? Like, if you ask me, what's the best-case scenario for this year on special teams?
Yeah. What? Texas said Falcons fans would disagree about the kickers.
That's me. Too soon. Too soon. Oh, man, that's brutal. But, like, no, seriously, Jack Smith averaging 44.5 with a really good net. Like, they're not returning it on him. One return for 1 yard in the game Saturday. So, net-wise, what are we looking at? 7 punts for 294. It's like a 42-yard net, including the pooch punt last week from Hoosier. For Smith, it's like 44.4 net. That's really good, especially relative to what we've seen. It's really good. Another 50-plus yard punt. Hoosier's been 1 for 2 from 40 to 49. Sue him. Okay? The guy's automatic from 40 and in. Terrific. And then kickoffs. You made the point, like, the one time there wasn't a kickoff, it was perfect. Like, Dabo called it like an onside kickoff, where you kick it like an onside kick, but it goes a little further. And because of the fair catch signal, it was not returnable. So they just kind of had to keep the ball there. And the ball doesn't go out of bounds, like, That was really well executed. You had the punt return from Wesco last week that put him in position late in the game. No complaints whatsoever with with special teams. None whatsoever. You know what's funny? I feel like the defense still has some meat on the bone. Like, they could, there's still another level for this defense. But I didn't grade anybody below a B on the defense. And I think even if I had broken it down corners and safeties, I'm not sure I'm going below a B. Like, I'm pretty, based on that, I'm pretty satisfied with the defense. Not so much with the offense. Passing game. God, the passing game's got to get better. 654 Roar is the number if you want to join us for our final 5 or so minutes of the show. I do want to tell you about Toyota of Easley. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. They're going to have to rename Highway 123 Highway Toyota of Easley if they just keep gobbling up all the vacant parking lots. Like, they just, it stuck their sign on the old furniture store that was right next door. Just going to use that parking lot. We're going to expand the service department the other way. There's like a quarter mile of road that's just Toyota of Easley right now, which is terrific. They need it all. They need all the space for the service. They need all the space for sales. They need all the space to make sure the customer experience continues to be top-notch. That's why they've won dozens and dozens and dozens of President's Awards. Go on and see them right now. Go online, start the process, toyotaofeasley.com. That's Toyota of Easley, where their name means a great deal. Good question from the text line. Coaching grades. We graded all the players. Let me see. You know, this is hard for me because you asked the pertinent question, which is, does this look like a well-coached team? Like on offense, for example. Does it look like a well-coached team? I don't think it does look like a well-coached team right now. But I also think if there were a... If this were somebody else that had all of the things that Clemson has, that has looked the way Clemson has looked, I do think I'm probably looking at the players first and not the coaches. So while I agree with that, I hesitate to go lower than like B minus. I mean, all the guys that were open in the LSU game and the way that they played in the second half, they obviously, there were some plays in the bag that they felt like could work and they executed the second half. I would go B minus on offense and maybe a B on defense.
Perhaps the most difficult one to grade, really, because ultimately it's on the players to execute, and you're not seeing players execute. However, as I said earlier, coaches got to figure out how to make them execute.
That's right.
And as encouraging as the third quarter was Saturday, you should never have that kind of production disparity between one half and the second half. You should never have that. It was, you know, like, it's not halftime adjustments and stuff like that. It's getting your team's attention.
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, to me, what I'm seeing is,
I do, but as we said earlier, I do not think they do not look like a well-coached team right now. They do not.
I go back to the first series where the screen that's called by Troy has enough blockers to clear everybody out, and the screen called by Clemson had one too few blockers. And I just think they're calling plays that require individual players to win individual plays that they're not winning right now. And that does fall on coaching just for a little bit. Can I ask a question now? Go ahead. You got something else? Okay.
No, I just say on the coaching front, I think Dabo Swinney's basically agreed with that in the post game of both of these games. He said we've got to do better as coaches. By the way, we had another one where talking about tight ends not being targeted and Tristan Smith not being targeted. You know, he's asked about that. It's like, yeah. We got to do a better job of getting them the ball. Well, let's think about that during the game.
I know. It's frustrating that, when things are going well and you're going, yeah, I should have got them another series. That's one thing. But when things aren't going well, this would be my thing. And I really do believe this. I'm not a big, like, give the quarterback a series guy. But after half, your humble halftime show servant was about this close to a CV chant, okay? Because I'm thinking, like, you gotta knock the cobwebs off. Like, if they don't score this first series, you got to do something else. This is dire.
I got to admit, when you were doing the halftime show, I did stay in the booth a little longer because the tenor of the conversation was, I thought, okay, am I going to have to get my boy here? Am I going to need to save him?
There was a non-zero chance of that happening. The other thing that I would say is, I know you like there are talented guys. I think there's got to be a quick hook on the receivers too. Throw Tristan Smith out there. Throw Cole Turner out there. Not after three series. Make some strong plays, man. Like TJ Moore, you can't in one series miss a block, fall down on a jet sweep where you're going to get probably the first down, and then lose control of a ball you have with both hands to a defense back from Troy. You can't do that. So Tristan Smith's going to play this next series. That would be me right now because we got two games on tape now. I think there's got to be a quick trigger with those guys. They got to play better. Point blank, period. Best room in the country, second best room, fifth best room, whatever. It shouldn't take Antonio Williams to make them play well. I just don't think so. In our final 90 seconds, what was your – this is a bad question to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway. This will tee us up for Tiger Tuesday tomorrow. What was your favorite result from the weekend? Like your favorite game result from the weekend?
Oh, man. Favorite game result. South Florida beating Florida.
I loved it, too. The spitting. Oh, we got to talk about this game. How do you spin the guy? That's 2 minutes left. How do you spin the guy's face?
The most entertaining game was last night.
I love last
Bills night. Ravens.
Oh, man.
I thought the Ravens were better for 90% of the game. But, man, you got to credit the Bills for coming back. Those were two really good teams last night. And the Bills were, again, I mean, I don't know what else you say. They lost a lot of that game and then won it.
They did.
Ravens have offensive line problems.
The Ravens, Dan Orlovsky gave this stat. They're like 1-6 in their last 7 against the Bills and Chiefs. And either all.